Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor David Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
And so if you've got your Bible, I encourage you to grab it and go to the New Testament. You'll find the book of Hebrews as you make your way through it. And we're today in Hebrews chapter 11, where we're continuing to look at the life of faith. The life of faith, because Hebrews 11 is filled with stories that demonstrate the necessity of and the power of living by faith. And today, as we zero in on yet another person, last week we looked at Abel, today we're looking at Enoch. And Enoch demonstrates to us the importance, the priority, the power of walking with God. Walking with God. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commending as having pleased God. What does it mean that Enoch pleased God, or rather, how did Enoch please God? And to answer that question, we go to Enoch's little biography tucked in Genesis chapter 5, where the writer of Genesis says, Enoch walked with God. In other words, by faith, Enoch pleased God, and the way he pleased God was by walking with God. He's a person, he was a man who walked with God. And what's so extraordinary about this is that Enoch is a person that most of us don't know very much about. In fact, he's a person whose biography biblically in the Old Testament is four sentences long. So of all the people the writer of Hebrews could choose under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to say, here's what it looks like to walk with God, why did he choose Enoch? And the answer, as we're going to discover, is that Enoch's life was grounded in three simple truths that if you're going to walk with God, have to be true of your life. If you're going to walk with God, these things will be true of your life. And the first truth that was grounded, or that Enoch grounded his life in, was that you prioritize connection with God. That if you're walking with God, then God will be the priority in your life, and being connected to him will be the priority in your life. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Before we look at this verse, I want to ask you a question. Why did God save you? Maybe another question would be, why did God create you? Some would say, or maybe posited answer by saying, well, he created us to serve him. But that's not right. We get to serve him. He mobilizes us to join with him in the work of redemption. So that's awesome. But that's not why he created you. The fact of the matter is that God created you and God saved you because he wanted to love you and he wanted you to know the joy of loving him. He wanted relationship with you. He wanted you to experience his fullness and his character in nature by connecting with him. He wanted you, in short, to walk with him. God created you to walk with him. One of the first things we see God doing in the Garden of Eden is that he's walking through the garden in the cool of the day. It's this picture of relationship. God wanted to walk with people. God wanted to connect with people. God wants to connect with you, and he wants to walk with you. At the West Campus, he wants to walk with you. Here at the South Campus, every person in this room, he created you to walk with you. At North, he created you to walk with you. He created people to walk with him so they would experience the relationship with him, the glory of his character and his nature. God created you to walk with him. But everything we're going to see about walking with God has to be rooted in the life of faith. It has to be grounded in faith. That's why the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. There are some things in order for you to stay connected to God that have to be in place in your life. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is signaling. He says, okay, Enoch is a man who by faith pleased God. He pleased God, we know from Genesis, by walking with God. And walking with God will always require faith as the foundation. So what from this verse do we learn that has to be in place of in your life for you to stay connected to God? Because all of us would say, I would love to be connected with God. I would love to walk close with God. What has to be in place for you to do that? And the first is, you have to believe God is who he says he is. You have to believe he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. In other words, you have to believe in his nature, but you also have to believe in his character. If you don't know God, if you don't understand that he is good and he does good, if you don't understand that he loves to reward people and do good in their lives, well, then it's going to be difficult for you to stay connected to him, because you can't stay connected to somebody you don't know. The writer of Hebrews says there are some things you have to believe about God because they're true to his character and nature. And there's something about you knowing that, you dwelling on that, you meditating that, you pressing into that. And what it does is it connects you to him. This is the importance of you reading God's word. Just to be honest, because every time you pick up your Bible, what are you learning about? God. You're learning facets of his character and his nature. You're learning about who he is and what he's like. So if you never pick up his word, it's going to be impossible for you to stay connected with him. There's some of you are like, I feel distant from God. I feel like God doesn't speak to me. Don't tell me God doesn't speak to you if you're not reading his word. Because this is God's word, and if you open it, guess what? He will speak to you. It's the baseline for learning to hear his voice. It's how you stay connected with him. And you know what? Here's what I would encourage you. If you don't know where to start, in fact, on Wednesday night after church, a guy came up to me and he said, you know what? I try to read my Bible. I want to read my Bible. I've been good at it sometimes, and other times I haven't been as good at it. He's like, recently I've kind of fallen off track. I want to get started. Where would you encourage me to start? And I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the book of Proverbs, and the day of the month it is, I want you to read that chapter of Proverbs. There are 31 Proverbs. I want you to read Proverbs cover to cover. Start there. Read a chapter a day for a few months and watch what God does in your life. It will, I promise you, you open God's word, it will help you stay connected to him, because every time you open it, you're exposing yourself to his character, his nature, and what he wants to do in your life. So we stay connected to God by believing who he says he is and by understanding more and more who he is. But not only that, we stay connected to God by spending time with God. You stay connected to God by spending time with him. This is the importance of you as you go throughout your day, walking with him in prayer, as you start your day saying, okay, God, I'm going to start by talking to you. I'm going to start by seeking you. God, I'm going to start by acknowledging you. You're the one. This is the day that you've made. This is the day that you planned for me to walk into. God, would you help me? And you start worshiping him, you start seeking him, and then watch what he does as a result. This is the value of you turning on worship music in the house. Why? Because you're just filling that place with praise and adoration and truth about who God is and what he's like. And what you do, what happens is it conditions your heart and it conditions your soul to pursue him and press into him. And it does something. It warms you to the presence of God and it conditions you to hear his voice. You're spending time with him. If you want to stay connected with God, well, you have to believe who he is and dive deeper into that. You have to spend time with him. But you also have to spend time with God's people. Some of you are like, well, I'm in church right now. That's awesome. That's a great start. You're here. You're at the West Campus. Amazing. You're spending time with God's people, and that's powerful. But one of the things our family loves to do is that we love to go on walks. We have any walkers in the room? Any family walk takers in the room? A lot of people love that. So Friday, we went on a family walk. And you know what we don't do on a family walk? We aren't quiet. We just aren't stoic, quiet people on a walk. No, we're talking. We're laughing. We're telling jokes. We're telling stories. The kids are pointing things out in nature. We're having an amazing time. And we don't leave the house to go on a walk by going six different directions. Don't do that. We leave the house together and we walk together. We head the same direction. And what hinders a lot of people from walking with God is they're surrounding themselves with people who aren't walking with God. That makes walking with God really, really difficult. But if you will spend time with God's people, i.e. if you will get into a life group, Brandon talked about life groups, get into a life group. Say, you know what, I'm gonna do that because I'm walking with God and I need to be around God's people. And if I'm gonna stay connected to him, I have to stay connected to his people. And if I stay connected to his people, it will add strength to my life, because it will. You will find it strengthens you, it fortifies you, it encourages you, it challenges you, it pushes you closer to him. Finally, if you're going to walk with God, you have to make walking with God the priority in your life. How do I know if I'm walking with God? What are the biggest things in your life? If God is not the biggest thing in your life, you're not walking with God. You say, if you're walking with God, like Enoch did, God is the priority. God's out front. His priorities become your priorities. In other words, when you think about your decisions, God's right at the center of it. When you think about your plans, God's right at the center of them. When you think about your kids, God's right at the center of how you're going to parent. When you think about your marriage, God's right at the center of that. When you think about your finances, God's right at the center. Why? Because you've said, I'm going to walk with God, and walking with God means he's the priority and his priorities are your priorities. If it's important to him, it's important to you. And guess what? When you link your priorities with his priorities, it allows you, it enables you to stay connected with him. In my marriage with Becky, if she had different priorities than I had, it'd be hard to be connected. It would be hard to have unity in our home. It'd be hard to have strength in our marriage. So one of the things that we're constantly doing is we're constantly aligning our priorities. And it's the same thing that needs to happen in every one of our walks with God, that we constantly are going, God, what is your priority? God, as I read your word, what do I see you saying? God, as I spend time with you in prayer, what do I hear your spirit speaking to my heart? God, as I'm around your people, what am I being pushed to do? And where am I being encouraged to step further into your plan for my life? And how am I being prodded to take the next step in your purpose and power? What am I being encouraged to do? Why, all of that is aligning your priorities with his priorities. So walking with God is about staying connected with him, but not only that, walking with God is about living with conviction. This life is not just about you walking hand in hand with the living God. It's about you taking a stand in the midst of darkness and the decay of a sinful world and saying, because I'm walking with God, I can take a stand for God. And you see this in the life of Enoch. Go back to Genesis chapter 5. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Now we're gonna get to that idea of what it meant for God to take him. But I'm cognizant of the fact that we just read about a guy who lived 365 years. And for some of you, you're like, what? You don't really believe that, do you? Yes, I do. One, because God's word says it, but two, because of
what God's word tells us about why that happened. What happened in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3? That sin entered the world. And when God created mankind, when he created humanity, it was marvelous, created in the image of God. Man wasn't meant to die. God created that. God didn't create death. Sin brought death. And with sin came decay. Before the flood, people lived unravaged to a massive extent by the effects of sin and the effects of a fallen world. I mean, think about, you know, pollution and disease and again, what that's done to humanity and to the human race. So people lived much longer before the flood. And Enoch lives in that pre-flood world. And yet, Enoch walks with God. He not only lives for 3.5 centuries, he walks with God for 3 centuries. And yet, at age 65, something happens. At age 65, he and his wife have a baby. Because 65, if you're gonna live 365 years, gotta be young. So this is a young dad. Don't you love that? You're like, hey, that sounds great. Pre-flood world. Young dad, they have baby Methuselah. Baby comes, and all of a sudden, Enoch says, okay, I'm doing something different. I'm getting serious about my walk with God, which is the way a lot of people come to a place in their life where they say, okay, I'm gonna do things differently. Enoch says, I'm going to walk with God. He makes a choice to walk with God. Now, here's what's astounding. Enoch is only one of 2 people in the pages of Scripture that were explicitly told, walked with God. And he's the first person in the whole biblical account that is said to walk with God. Which means this, you can know God and not walk with God. Because there's something about walking with God that person lives differently. That person lives more intentionally. It's a choice to walk with God. It's a choice to live differently in the middle of your culture. Enoch, look at this. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah for 300 years. Enoch made a choice to walk with God, which means the danger for every believer, the danger for every follower of God is that you can follow him and live a lukewarm life. You can follow him and not do any damage to darkness. You can follow God and not be a threat to hell. You can follow God and not be passionate about populating heaven. You can follow God lukewarm. And Enoch said, I'm not going to do that. I am going to make a choice because walking with God is a choice to stand for righteousness in an unrighteous world. It's just a choice. Either I'm going to stand up for who God is and what God's about and what is righteous, and I'm gonna call out what's not righteous, and I'm gonna live separate from that, and I'm gonna live differently, or I'm not going to. You gotta make a choice. And we see that he made that choice. Look at Jude. This is late in the New Testament. Jude is 1 chapter book. So it's just verse 14 that we're gonna look at first, but it was about these that Enoch, the 7th from Adam, prophesied. Enoch was 7 generations from Adam. What is being indicated there is the fact that Adam very likely knew Enoch. They knew one another. So Adam was still alive while Enoch was alive. If you do the math, Adam's gonna live, I believe it's 960 years. Enoch's gonna live 365 years. And so in the midst of this moment in history, you've got somebody who was with God in the Garden of Eden, and you've got another guy who's looking at the cultural decay around him, and the guy who knows Adam, Enoch knows Adam, Enoch's related to Adam, he could have said, well, Adam was in the garden. I mean, Adam saw, you know, he named the animals. I mean, if something needs to happen, I'm sure Adam will do it. If something needs to happen, I'm sure Adam will say something. I'm sure Adam will do something. I mean, if anybody's gonna live by convictions, it would be Adam. Enoch has every excuse in the world
to bow out and say, there are people who know more than me, have seen more than me. They're the ones who should be taking a stand. If anything should be said, they're the ones who should say something. And yet Enoch, in the middle of this, goes, no, I'm going to take a stand. How do we know that Enoch took a stand? Look at verse 15 in Jude. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, look at this, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all. What was the judgment that God was going to execute? It was the flood. He was preparing to send the flood, and Enoch becomes a preacher of righteousness in the middle of a culture of decay on all, and to convict the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch is this powerhouse of conviction that stands in the middle of his culture and says, it's not okay. He sees the sin, he sees the brokenness, and he's not just standing against sin, he's standing for people who have been ravaged by sin. What do I mean by that? That Enoch is not a culture warrior who's yelling at the society around him. He's a preacher. He's somebody who's coming to people who are trapped in sin and saying, there's something better for you. God loves you. God cares about you. God sees you. You don't have to stay here. He confronts the ungodliness. Yeah, he confronts the sin, but he does it in love, because he's walking with God, and God came because God loves people. And yet this fieriness in Enoch is you watch it grow, you watch it fueled, which is exactly what the Apostle Paul says should happen in every one of our lives. Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I don't know about you, but our world desperately needs believers who are not lacking in zeal, but are more passionate today than they were yesterday about seeing people come to know Jesus, about our world being transformed by the power of the gospel, about things changing. Our world needs it. Your coworkers need it. Your neighbors need it. We can't afford to sit back. We can't afford to coast. We can't afford to say, well, somebody else will do it. Oh, we can't afford to say somebody else will invite them. No, it's our moment. It's your moment as people walking with God to stand by our convictions and say, there's a God who loves you, sees you, cares about you. Don't go that way. Go this way. Our world is getting darker, not brighter. The church has got to rise up and be the church. And here's the thing. The world's hungry for it. The world's hungry for it. Never forget hearing this quote for the first time by Penn Jillette, part of the duo Penn and Teller that performs in Nevada, but he is a very vocal atheist. And he said this, how much do you have to hate somebody? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them? James River, how much? That's an atheist talking, not a Christian, not a theologian. This is a guy who's lost. I mean, if you believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe that truck was bearing on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. He's saying part of the reason he doesn't believe is the apathy of believers. But what if we took a cue from Enoch, who was a voice in his generation? What if you said, oh, no, I see how desperate the situation is. And I see how much God loves the world and desires that none would perish, but everyone would come to repentance. And I will tackle them if that's what it takes. I'll tackle them. Why? Because it's true. It's true.
it's true, it's true, it's true. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No person comes to the Father except through me. Walking with God is a choice to take a stand against sin and ungodliness and point people to the Savior. Eternity is at stake. Enoch is a man who walked with God, and he sees the people around him, and his heart breaks, not just because they're violating God's law. His heart breaks because he sees the destruction that sin is bringing, and he says, if I can do anything to change that with every breath in my lung, I will not stop until I have tackled them, if that's what it takes to declare who God is and the power that he has to change their life. Do you realize there are people all around you who desperately need to know what God has done in you and God's plan for them to find out about what God can do for them is you. It's you. You're God's plan for that coworker. You're God's plan for your neighborhood. You're God's plan for your extended family members. You say, but they don't want to hear about it. Do you think all the people that Enoch talked to wanted to hear about it? No. Whether or not people are ready to hear you or they think you hear you, they hear you, doesn't determine whether or not you say what needs to be said and you stand on your convictions in the middle of darkness. Why? Because you don't know what God's doing in their heart. And the fact of the matter is, no matter how much pushback you get, your urgency is fueled not by their receptivity. Your urgency is fueled by your awareness that Jesus is coming soon. Walking with God is not just about being connected to God. Walking with God is not just about standing by your convictions. Walking with God is also about living in light of the fact that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, everybody, and he's coming soon. And I know, I think it's great to applaud for that. I think it's awesome. But the call to every one of us and the truth about the way a person lives who's walking with God is that they live every day in light of that. They live in light of that. Look at this in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Everything at this 65-year mark in Enoch's life becomes about telling people, warning people about the judgment that's coming. Everything becomes about pointing people to God. Everything. Say, well, how do you know that? Well, one of the biggest indicators of that is what he names his child. It says, when Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah, Methuselah is a Hebrew compound made up of three different Hebrew words, and it means it will be sent when he is dead. Can you imagine? Well, what's your son's name? This is little, it will be sent when he is dead. You know, like, why would he do that? Well, Methuselah is gonna live 969 years. And when he dies, the flood hits. He names his son prophetically because even the name of this child is going to be witness to the fact of the urgency of the message to the people around him. That he sinned, judgment is coming. You've got to repent. You've got to turn. God's promises are true. For 969 years, Methuselah is going to carry this name.
a witness of the urgency that his dad had to see people turn from sin and turn to God. And it's the same urgency that is meant to characterize our lives. It's the same urgency that's meant to characterize your life, that you and I are meant to live. Walking with God means living in light of the fact that Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. And yet I realize there are people even across the campuses who, when you hear that, you go, well, I know people have been saying that, but he hasn't come back yet. And to that, I would send you to Peter. Look at what Peter says. He says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. At every campus, there are people, and you've come in. Somebody invited you. Somebody brought you, and you don't know Jesus, and you're not walking with God. Do you know that God is patiently waiting for you? He loves you so much. He doesn't want you to spend any second apart from him, but he especially doesn't want you to spend eternity in hell. So he says he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He's patient. And yet we know that Jesus is coming soon. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, but about the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. What was it like in the days of Noah? Well, not only was the culture rapidly devolving, but as Noah was building that ark, as we're going to see next week, everybody was ignoring him. It seemed like nobody wanted to serve God. Nobody's running. Culture was getting darker and darker. Jesus said, it'll be like that before the coming of the Son of Man. One of the clearest signs that we have in Scripture of Jesus' return is what Jesus says in Matthew 14, that this gospel will be preached in all the world, then the end will come. Do you realize that in our generation, for the first time in our generation, there will be a portion of the gospel in every language on the planet? It may be today, though. It may be tomorrow. We don't know. All we know is he's coming soon. And Enoch, as a man who walked with God, was fueled by an urgency to say, I know he's coming. I know judgment is coming for those who don't know him. And I don't want anybody to be there. Hell is real. Heaven is real. The Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. Hell is real, but God doesn't want anybody to be there. Heaven is real, but the question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Because if you're not, you can be. Because if you're away from God today, you can get close to him. Because if you've come in here and you're like, you don't know where I've been, you don't know what I've done, you don't know what's going on in my life, God does, and he still loves you. And it's as simple as you turning to him. But it's urgent because Jesus is coming soon.
The Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he sent his son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. Hell is real, but God doesn't want anybody to be there. Heaven is real, but the question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Because if you're not, you can be. Because if you're away from God today, you can get close to him. Because if you've come in here and you're like, you don't know where I've been, you don't know what I've done, you don't know what's going on in my life, God does, and he still loves you. And it's as simple as you turning to him. But it's urgent because Jesus is coming soon.